Some people still push toxic pesticides and synthetic fertilizers, things they learned 30 years ago. Well, Howard Garrett will talk about things he learned 30 years ago, but also what things he learned last year and yesterday. So here he is, your host, the natural organic scientist, the Dirt Doctor.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to this Easter Sunday show. Happy Easter to everybody out there. Glad some of you are taking a little time to visit with us. I know there's a lot going on, but there's a lot going on in the news. I started the show talking about the fact that President Obama did a really bad thing by signing a something called the Monsanto Protection Act, and basically gives Monsanto protection to do all of this genetically modified stuff that they want to do without any fear of being prosecuted, or it probably gives them immunity from lawsuits and all kinds of things. It's supposedly only good for 6 months, but everybody is, you know, whether you're a Republican or Democrat or independent or whatever, people are riled up about this other than the people that are in this industry. So if you didn't know about that, you need to. It's really bad. We've got the details on Facebook, and it'll be in the business part of news part of DirtDoctor.com as well. By the way, our newsletter, if you're not getting it already, a lot of people are all over the country and in some other countries, as a matter of fact. You can get it free. It's a good price. All you have to do is give us your email address, send a email to info@dirtdoctor.com, and or you can fill out the little form that's on dirtdoctor.com. There is a membership area as well. It's the Organic Club of America. It does cost a little bit, but has much more benefits and that sort of thing, so you can check that out as well. The questions that we cover here are all across the board: landscaping, gardening, herb gardening, vegetable gardening, pest control management. We talk a lot about composting. Environmental issues, of course, are fair game. Anything you'd like to talk about, if you've got a problem, something's not working, that's fine. If you got something you want to brag about, that's good too. 866, the way you call is 1-866-444-3478. Let's see what else I need to do before we head back to the phones. I think that's about it. We the only other thing I probably ought to say for the new listeners, and we're getting new stations joining here all the time. We're delighted about that. If you hear me talk about something and it's some term you're unfamiliar with, or some process you're unfamiliar with, or the fact that I don't like synthetic fertilizers, or don't like Roundup, or don't like peat moss or something, and you've never heard that before, the details are on the website. And the first place for you to start when you're just getting going is to go to the homepage and click on the word guides. It's in there's three columns there, and under guides you'll find the formulas that I recommend, and the basic organic program, the rose program, the fruit and pecan tree program, all that basic stuff. And then you can get more detailed information about all of that if you go into the library of the website, and everything's in alphabetical order there. I have 15 books or so. A lot of the details are covered in the books as well, but a lot of times you can find the information on the website as well. Let's go to the phones. This is Eugenia in Coppell next up. Good morning.
Good morning. I love your show and happy Easter. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to let you know that in Lancaster this week, there is an expert, Gary Liss, on zero waste, and he speaks about how 40 to 60% of garbage that goes into the landfill is compostable, and how we must get that out of there and use it to revitalize our soils. He's an expert that has helped over 25 cities get to 85% of their landfill is diverted away from the landfill, and it creates jobs. It's a way of looking at waste and as lost resources. He will be here in Cedar Valley on April 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. There's a lecture and then a full-day workshop April 5th. And he talks a lot about what you're saying, that we don't really need pesticides or fertilizers that are made of chemicals when you do composting and you're able to change the soil. And so I know that your listeners are interested in all of this, and he's an expert that's coming to town, and we wanted to let you know and have you make some comments about composting and how important it is.
Well, we'll be glad to put it on the website, all those events. Just send us the detailed information. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com. It's that same address, and we'll be glad to do that. There's one thing you said that I'll disagree with, that 40 to 60% of the stuff in the landfills is compostable. I would argue that 100% is. and the reason I say that is that some of the stuff that, you know, we wouldn't want to turn into using in our garden or using in the landscape or whatnot, we can reduce the volume of all that stuff by composting it. And and then just bury it after we have, taken it apart and disassembled it to a great degree through a composting process. That's probably something that's going to be a hard sell for a lot of folks, because they like just, you know, putting it in the landfills and covering it up. But anything basically can be eaten, will be eaten by microbes. You know, there's microorganisms that live and feed on everything up to and including molten lava and radioactive material. So...
Wow. Well, I love you. I love that you disagree with that, and that the percentage is much higher. And you make a great point of reducing the mass, the actual volume. So, and we want to offer your listeners too, for the price of one. This is part of the Clean Economy series. It's a nonprofit that has come to Dallas to teach sustainability. We had Joel Salatin, the lunatic farmer from Pennsylvania last week.
Does he call himself the lunatic farmer? He's a good guy. He's we don't agree 100% on things, but he's a good guy. Well, that's great. Send me the stuff so I can put it on. We'll put it on Facebook, and you can go put it on my Facebook if you want to yourself. But we can put it on there, and we'll put it in the announcements on dirtdoctor.com and help spread the word. I appreciate you calling.
Thank you very much.
Okay, call us again. And we've got an open line as a result, 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Clarence in Orlando, Florida. Oh, Clarence?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. First-time caller.
Thank you.
I listen to your program on Sundays, and I'm out at my farm here with my chickens, but I... Then Holden, I wanted to ask you a question. I have three fruit trees, a navel that's in my front yard. In the backyard, I have two tangerine trees. The navel tree, for the first time, they're about 3-4 years old, maybe 6 foot tall. They bared fruit each year, but and this year the navel didn't bear any fruit. The two tangerine trees had fruit on, and they looked real good by looking at them, but then when I peeled them, it was like parts of it was dry. You know, the plugs were dry and just couldn't be eat. And I'm wondering what the problem might be.
Well, give me a little bit more background, Clarence. Have you been organic for a while, or what's your program?
No, I have used fertilizer. I have a farm here where I have chicken manure and horse manure that I mix and compost, and so I've been using that. I have mulch. I water it. So that's what I've normally been doing. So.
Okay, but you've used some synthetic fertilizers also as part of your program?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of things that I would point you at here. One is to get rid of the synthetic fertilizers and go with a total program. I'm delighted that you called us. You got the base material there with the chickens and the manure and all that to be organic really easily. So What the second thing is, and we can help you with that talking here. There's plenty of information on our website as well. The second part of it is fruit trees in general, and it includes citrus, are notorious for being planted too deeply in the ground. Do you have sandy soil there where you are in Orlando?
Yeah, it's sandy soil. Yes.
Yeah. Look at the base of your plant, and if you don't have a dramatic flare, trunk flare exposure above the surface of the soil, your tree's too deep in the ground. Let me put you on hold. Can you hang on with me a little bit? I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We'll talk a little bit more about root flares and trunk flares when I come back. Don't go away.
Tired of poor-performing crops, gardens, or lawns? Texas Plant and Soil Lab offers you the most accurate and thorough soil nutrition test in the industry. Our special method is accurate for every soil type and in all areas of the country. The quality of the water you use for irrigation is also critical to the health of your soil and plants. We can provide you with a complete analysis and corrective recommendations for your water. Go to AskThePlant.com today to see useful information and a full description of our services. That's AskThePlant.com or call 956-383-0739.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs. If you are a grower, farmer, rancher, landscape contractor, or homeowner who expects excellent results, convenience, and to save money, then you need to visit naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Once again, naturalorganicwarehouse.com. The Natural Organic Warehouse. Organic programs and products that work.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green, safe for your kids and pets. Proper fertilization can improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't damage your grass when hot, dry weather arrives. Use Milorganite for better results naturally.
Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
My favorite dog food company is located up near the Red River in Munster, Texas. My dogs eat only Munster Natural Dog Food, and I recommend it becomes part of your dog's diet. Same for your cats. My dogs love the taste, and Judy and I like how it makes them look and feel. Other major points include the absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients available, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. One unusual ingredient is something I've been recommending for a long time. Some choices contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original blends. Munster Natural pet foods are made from grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area. Your dogs and cats will be healthier and happier.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And we got an open line for you. Jump on here at 866-444-3478. Here's Clarence still with us in Orlando, I believe. Clarence, you there?
Yes, Howard.
One of the things besides going totally organic and building that sandy soil there is with fruit trees in general, and this goes for the citrus, it's to really overdo exposing the flare. We've got some pictures on Facebook of this dramatic, we really went over the top exposing a ginkgo and a live oak in my yard just to give people visually an understanding. When I say expose the flare, what I'm talking about, you want to be able to step on, if the tree's big enough, step on the flare. It needs to be turned and moving horizontally so much so you could literally step on the flare. And with the fruit trees, they tend to be in the ground too deep, more so than other trees, because a lot of them are grafted. And well, that and the fact that they're in containers too deep from the nursery when you plant them. So that'd be the first thing I would look at. And that's the first step of what we call the sick tree treatment. Okay. And the sick tree treatment is what I want you to do. And what that involves is, number one, expose that flare.
Right.
And I bet you anything, it's not exposed well enough. It's part of the trunk is the reason it's so important. It's not part of the root system. There's a transition zone there between the bark and the roots, but that flare tends to be more of the trunk than it is of the roots. Plus the fact, once it's exposed, it will, if it is root tissue, it'll convert over to bark. You've probably seen that on a stream or a creek that's been washed away, you know, and the roots are exposed, they turn into bark. It won't go the other way. Bark won't turn into root. It'll just rot. And that's why we want to uncover it. And then the next part of the sick tree treatment is to aerate the root zone. Even in sandy soil, a lot of times that's important. And you'll know whether you need to do it or not. If there's a hard pan in sandy soil, which there can be, aeration, sticking holes and destroying that hard pan is something that needs to be done. You can tell by using a golf club with the old golf club with the head broken off, probe into the soil and see if there is a hard pan. If there's not, you can skip that step. And then the rest of it is to apply the same amendments we use for bed preparation. In your case, you can use your own compost, but get some rock powders that will be available there from the sand and gravel people in nurseries, things like lava sand and granite and zeolite and azomite and, you know, those kind of things. Put that out. Put out some cornmeal, whole ground cornmeal.
Okay.
Put it out like a fertilizer application, 10 to 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. And then put out some dry molasses if you can find that. If not, if you can't find the dry molasses, you can make it yourself, the Garrett juice formula, or you can buy it mail order if it's not in the stores there locally. But the formula is on our website for you. You can whip up your own mixture, drench the root zone with this Garrett juice mixture, and spray the trunks of the trees and the foliage and the whole, you know, the whole plant.
Okay.
And I think you will see your fruit come right around to being what you want.
Okay. I'll do those steps. I really appreciate it, Howard.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Well, keep us posted now.
Okay.
A lot of people will tune in for the first time, and we're delighted about that. The organic program is different. There's a few terms and a few things that you may not have heard of before that you have to get into. But the bottom line is that it's easier to do. Once you get through the step of just thinking, stepping back and thinking about things a little bit differently, thinking about how to work within nature's laws and systems rather than trying to control and force feed plants with these soluble blue-green fertilizers and the salt fertilizers that are in a bag. You know, that's what the synthetic fertilizers are. They're just salt. Once you think about fertilizing at a little bit different timing, we fertilize earlier in the year. We fertilize less often. We build soil health and let the microbes and the soil health feed the plants. And then we've got pest control products that work great. We've got pest control products for everything that comes up. But we have a whole lot less pressure to do that because the soil is healthy and the plant roots are healthy and we have a natural immunity in the plants. One of the things that I recommend for all gardeners, I haven't mentioned it enough today as I should have, I recommend that all gardeners in the spring, as things begin to grow in the south, you're a little bit behind. In the north, it's not quite time. If they're still, like the Minneapolis caller earlier today, still snow on the ground. But as soon as the plants are starting to grow, it's time to put out two things, and everybody should do it. Trichogramma wasps to help control caterpillar pests that come from moths and eat your plants. And actually help with some other insects as well. And then the second is beneficial nematodes, which help with everything from grub worms and termites to fire ants and all kinds of other pests that have at least one of their life cycles down in the soil. Trichogramma wasps and beneficial nematodes, and they can be ordered, mail order, and you can read all about them on our website on dirtdoctor.com. Here is one of our regulars that we haven't heard from too much lately, Mr. Crazy Rick. Hey, Rick.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, I'm just contemplating how to say this. We've come a long way since the Declaration of Independence, where we were worshiping or proclaiming nature and nature's the God of nature and nature's God, to where now we're trying to control everything in nature. It displeases me quite a bit.
Rick, I'm sorry. Timing's terrible. Hang on. We'll talk to you off the air or back on in a minute. Howard Garrett, be back in a minute.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Authorities investigating the shooting death of an assistant prosecutor in Texas 2 months ago are now also investigating the death of his boss. The district attorney in Kaufman County, Mike McClelland, and his wife found dead in their home yesterday. Christians all around the world gathering in their churches to celebrate Easter Sunday, including churches in the Middle East, where some Christians feel isolated from their Muslim-majority societies and some are under threat from Muslim terrorists. He's known in Egypt as John, the Egyptian version of John Stewart, popular television satirist in that nation, released on bail today after nearly 5 hours of interrogation. He is accused of insulting Islam. And authorities in the Los Angeles area are looking for a transient with a long criminal record in the kidnapping of a 10-year-old girl. She was taken from her home last week and then abandoned hours later in front of a hospital. This is SRN News.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
With us for sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Russell Westbrook had a triple-double with 23 points, 10 assists, and 13 rebounds as Oklahoma City beat Milwaukee 109-99 to pull within 2 games of Western Conference leader San Antonio. The Spurs, meanwhile, will be without guard Manu Ginobili for their showdown with the Miami Heat today. He's suffering from a strained right hamstring. Dallas went on a 15-1 run to erase a 12-point Chicago lead, and they beat the Bulls 198. Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle.
Hey, this is a special group of guys. Even though our year's been a rough year, they're a special group of guys. They're continuing to battle. We're going to keep battling.
The Mavericks are still a game and a half out of the final playoff spot of the Western Conference, trailing Utah and the Lakers. Utah beat Brooklyn 116-107. The Lakers were a 103-98 win over Sacramento. L.A. and the Jazz tied for 8th in the West. Atlanta beat Orlando 97-88. The Hawks moved into 5th in the East, a half game ahead of the Bulls. It was Memphis 99, Minnesota 86. The Grizzlies ended a 5-game road losing streak. This is SRN Sports. Playing without injured leading scorer James Harden, Houston beat the L.A. Clippers 98-81. Rockets guard Jeremy Lin with 15 points says they stepped up without Harden in the lineup.
There was no one who really did anything spectacular, but it was just everybody doing their role, their job, and that's what you need. You know, when we lose our best player, our star player, everyone else has to rally and pitch in a little bit here, a little bit there, and fill in the holes.
Houston 7th in the West. Indiana beat Phoenix 112-104. The Pacers are at a virtual tie with New York for 2nd in the East. It was Philadelphia 100, Charlotte 92, Golden State 125, Portland 98. Syracuse beat Marquette 55-39, and the Orange are now heading to the Final Four. Syracuse guard Brandon Trish with 9 points says their defense made the difference.
Defensively, if we're, you know, stopping guys, we know that offensively we don't get going. We know that we can really score enough points to beat teams, you know, especially holding a good team like Marquette to 39.
Wichita State beat Ohio State 70-66. The Shockers heading to their first trip to the Final Four since 1965. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. And Crazy Rick is still with us. Rick, what else is up with you?
Well, the meat of my subject is, our question is, I've had folks asking me, okay, you need to take the dirt off the soil, off the root flare and bring it out and all that. And then they get the confused part of, okay, where do you want me to put my mulch or my compost if I'm taking all that away from the edge of the roots?
Mm-hmm. So that's the question.
I tell them, go out beyond the drip line and put your mulches and your compost out in that area. And let nature take care of all between the trunk of the tree to that point.
Yeah, I think that my recommendations in the past about mulch, about having the mulch at zero depth at the tree trunk and then gradually increasing in depth as you get out to wherever you're going to stop the mulch is still correct. If you've done root flare exposure like I've done on my big trees at home, that diameter of the depression that's been created on those two trees is over 8 feet, close to 10 feet in width. You know, it's a big area that we took soil out, and basically what I'm going to do in those situations and what I recommend to other people is when you've done root flare excavation, you don't put any mulch at all, kind of like what you're saying, down in the area where you've done the work, leave the soil and the roots completely exposed, and then start the mulch out at the point where you haven't done any disturbing, And then you can mulch as far as you want to go. I mean, in some situations, there's too much shade to grow anything else, so you mulch the entire area, you know, from that point out. And in other cases, you'd only go to the, like you say, to the drip line or just beyond the drip line. Every case will be a little bit different. But the main point is you don't put any mulch at all down in the hole that if you've had to create one or on that flare.
Exactly. Now, would it be feasible, you know, if you have a real large area, you've got a lot of shade trees and a lot of roots coming up, could you put a pea gravel or a larger gravel in there just so that you don't have the, as we have here in North Texas, this black clay, you know, the all that mud and the weeds and stuff coming up, just so that it does not cover the top of those roots?
Well, we've done that. I'd rather do it with just shredded, if you're going to do anything, just shredded native tree trimmings, just very, very thin layer. We've done the pea gravel. We've done larger gravel. We've done big river rock. We've done all sorts of things to fill in the holes, working with, you know, clients, and some landscape architects are more object to the look of having a hole when you've had a tree really deep in the soil and a hole has been created. And every time we've put any kind of material at all in the hole, you're talking about being a little more shallow than the other people have done. Other people fill the hole up with this stuff. We've had silt and soil and leaves and all build up over a period of time, and the roots work themselves back in again, and it becomes soil-like, and once more you're holding moisture on the flare of the trunk.
Right, right.
So we basically say don't put anything down in the depression.
Well, like I tell them, I say the trees that you find doing the best are the ones that are along the rivers and streams where they've had the dirt pulled away from the roots versus the ones that are further inland that have had all that soil and everything. The rain has brought in all that soil and leaves and stuff and deposited at the bases.
That's right. So
that's where you want to emulate is those that are along the streams and rivers.
You're right. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, man.
See you later. Yeah, the most beautiful trees around or down along the Gulf Coast and places like that where you see these gigantic flares that you can literally sit down and have a nap on coming out. And just, you know, it's a beautiful part of the tree. And we're just trying to get back to that as much as we can, because so many trees, an extremely high percentage of trees across the country and around the world, have been planted too deeply in the ground. Now, some of them get buried naturally and need to be exposed. The Champion Pecan Tree in Weatherford, Texas, that you can see photographs on my website that we've helped with now for many years, we uncovered it. We took 4.5 feet of soil off of it. Then that soil was deposited on it naturally through floods in the creek that it was is nearby. A bottomland tree, a pecan or green ash or something like that, can stand to be filled on a little bit more. But all trees, with the exception of palms, love to have it removed and have their flares dramatically exposed. Patsy in Fort Worth next up. Hi, Patsy.
Hi. I wanted to ask a question about a crepe myrtle, when I can, cut it back or, whatever I have to do to it. My neighbor complains. He mows my yard because the branches are so low and he has to bend down to mow. And I hate to cut those bottom limbs. It's a short crepe myrtle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to know when I can trim it and if I can cut it, if I, you know.
Well, I think one of the most beautiful things about the crepe myrtle is its natural shape and that kind of drooping limb structure that'll be there if you don't trim it at all. So if you don't have to trim it, don't trim it. A thing off of it. I think the timing of trimming a crepe myrtle is to trim broken limbs or limbs that are crossing and being a problem and things that you have to because the limbs are interfering with something. And in your case, that may be what you're dealing with. But if you don't have to trim the limbs off, the answer to when to trim a crepe myrtle is never.
Okay, that's that's good. I'll just tell him you said that. Yeah. I don't hear anything else.
The seed pods we even leave now, because we used to say it's okay to trim back, you know, the seed pods and tidy it up a little bit. But I like to leave them because they're decorative, and the seed inside the pods are eaten by some little birds around from time to time. So other than shoots that come out of the base, and that's usually because the tree's too deep in the ground, or problem limbs, I wouldn't do any trimming at all. I don't trim my crepe myrtles a bit.
Okay, that's good to know.
Okay.
One other question I have, and I think I know what you're going to tell me. I stupidly planted some monkey grass around the base of my tree, a large tree that I have out there. I need to get that out of there, don't I?
You're right. You already figured it out.
Okay, well, thank you for all your help this morning.
Okay. Thank you, Patsy. Yeah, one of the worst things you can do is plant a little posy bed or something, a little flower bed around the base of trees. One, it doesn't look quite right. And the other thing is you tend to water it too much, and you cover up the flare as a result because you're putting new bed preparation and stuff like that in there. Let the tree have the base. The base of a tree is one of the prettiest parts, and so it doesn't need to have a bunch of decoration. If the tree is growing in a ground cover bed, like several of mine are at my house, you need to pull the ground cover back from time to time so you keep that flare exposed. You do not want the ground cover or the vines growing up on the trunks of trees. Some people like that effect, and that's fine if you don't mind the tree going down in health over a period of time. But for the tree's health, you don't let vines or ground cover grow on the flare or on the trunk, and you especially don't let them grow up in the tree. If you've got dead trees or snags or something like that, that's fine. Or if you've got a tree that you don't mind getting covered up and being injured, that's fine too. But for the health of the tree, keep the vines off. Betty in Arlington is next up. Hi, Betty.
Good morning, Howard. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
I have a bay tree that I have kept in a pot for so many years I've lost count.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to plant it, but I know that the roots are very bad in that pot.
All bound up?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I want to know if I have any chance of getting it undone so I can plant it.
Yep. Let me tell you how you do it. And the first thing, so I don't forget to tell you, somebody asked me a question about planting bay on Facebook this past week, and I put some photographs of my bay on there. It's kind of hard to show it off how it really is. Mine's over 25 feet tall and has been outside now for almost 30 years. Mine started in a pot just like yours. We had it in a one-gallon clay pot, and it was severely root-bound when I stuck it in the ground. What you do is take it out of the pot and put it in a bucket of water that's enough to cover the ball completely and soak it for about 3 hours.
Okay.
And into that water, just dash a little bit of Garrett juice in the water. And then when you pull it out, you're going to be able to untangle the roots a little bit. It's going to be hard, but if you let it soak for 2-3 hours and get the roots, you know, super hydrated, they'll become softer and more pliable, and you can tend to pull them out. You don't want to cut them and rip them like we used to recommend. That was a bad recommendation. You want to just try to untangle them as much as you can. And then dig a wide, rough-sided hole. Spread those roots out as much as you can. Backfill with the soil from the area where you're planting the little bay, and it'll do just great.
Well, it definitely isn't a little one. We cut it back each year to keep it so we can bring it in.
Well, it'll take off once you put it in the ground. It'll become a big plant.
Well, I'm sure it will because you sure tried.
Yep, yep.
But also, I have got some 4 o'clock seed, and I planted them in on the patio to get them started before I plant them out. Am I correct in remembering that those will come back each year?
More so than you would like, Betty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They can become a little bit invasive. I like them. I planted some white 4 o'clock. In fact, a friend of mine, John Morlock, gave me some starts of them that he had grown. And I like them, but they do pop up here and there and all over the place. They become somewhat invasive. I don't mind that. I just pull them out. I treat them kind of like the inland sea oats that I've got all over the place on all my properties. I love the plant, but if you let the inland sea oats go to seed, you'll have them popping up all over the place. They're easy to pull out when they're little plants. Just don't let them get too big, and you won't have a big issue. Same thing with the sea oats as with the 4 o'clocks.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds great. Thank you so very much.
Appreciate the call. Call us again. It's Audie in Cook County someplace. Hi, Audie.
Good morning, Howard. I had a question about the varieties of buffalo grass.
Okay.
That I'd like to get some native grasses established, but the Bermuda grass seems to be more invasive than what I would like it to be.
Well, it won't be if you manage it correctly. Can you hold with me over the break?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about buffalo grass and other grasses when we come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Website is dirtdoctor.com.
My favorite dog food company is located up near the Red River in Munster, Texas. My dogs eat only Munster Natural Dog Food, and I recommend it becomes part of your dog's diet. Same for your cats. My dogs love the taste, and Judy and I like how it makes them look and feel. Other major points include the absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients available, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. One unusual ingredient is something I've been recommending for a long time. Some choices contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original blends. Munster Natural pet foods are made from grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area. Your dogs and cats will be healthier and happier.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at biositechnology.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, we are back with Audie. I hope, Audie, you there?
I'm still here, Howard.
All right.
The variety of buffalo grass I'd heard about, and I've just not really seen it, called Top Gun buffalo grass. And I was advised that this would actually take over Bermuda, that it grows in runners. And I just wasn't familiar with a variety called Top Gun buffalo. I just wondered if you had any information.
Was this a solid sod, or was this a seed that you...
This was just a seed.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking that the Top Gun was a hull seed, and it's been promoted, and it's fine. There's no problem. Any of the Bermuda grasses, with the exception of Stampede, seem to be pretty good. Stampede is, some people are saying, is not holding up, not being as good as it was, advertised to be. It's a selectively hybridized, lower growing one, and I don't know what the problem is with it is, but there's some issue. The critics of buffalo grass, I think you're referring to this a little bit, is that buffalo will get overrun by Bermuda grass. That is only the case if you don't manage the buffalo right. If you fertilize a lot and water too much, that will benefit the buffalo grass, and the buffalo grass will tend to dominate, Bermuda grass will tend to dominate the buffalo if you water and fertilize too much. If you cut back on your watering, which is the whole purpose to use buffalo grass and other native grasses, if you cut way back and you cut way back on your fertilizing, maybe fertilize one time a year, at a fairly low rate, you will give the benefit to the buffalo grass, and it will actually dominate over Bermuda if you know what you're doing and manage it properly. But here's the other thing: there are places on a golf course where I play, that's one of the oldest golf courses in Dallas, that have not been disturbed, and the turf area is the same it's been for 50 or 70 years. There is Bermuda grass and buffalo grass growing together in the same area, and they blend together pretty well. Now, I don't have a big problem with that, but the point is, if you have that situation and you want the buffalo to be the more dominant You just cut back on the water, cut back on the fertilizer. If you like the Bermuda, well, one more thing on the Bermuda. If you want the Bermuda to dominate, fertilize more often, water more often, and mow lower. Buffalo would prefer to be left alone more. You see what I mean?
I do see what you mean. Some of the seed mixes I've been looking at, you had mentioned this Habitat mixture earlier in the program, and some of them seem to mix the Buffalo with the Bermuda. And I'm going, well, if one overtakes the other, what's the point?
It's not a problem, but the critics of Buffalo and A&M's bunch tends to be in that category, bad mouth and Bermuda Buffalo because it gets taken over by Bermuda, but that's because they recommend synthetic fertilizers and they recommend a management program that benefits the Bermuda more than the Buffalo.
Okay.
Buffalo is the best grass. I think that is that what it's called? Habitat? Is that the name of it?
Well,
that
I
mixture?
Was thinking that's what you had mentioned
earlier. It's something like
something of that nature.
Like it. I like the blend. It's apparently Buffalo and Curly Mesquite and Blue Grandma, and it may have some Bermuda in it. I don't think it does. I think it's all native grasses.
Well, some of them that I have seen at some of these seed companies had Blue Stem mixed in along with some Buffalo, along with Bermuda. It's just a different mixture. And apparently, you can go to a seed company and tell them, here's what I want. I want, you know, 100 pounds and mix it to these proportions, and they'll do it.
You can get it mixed, but this one is already mixed and is being marketed as something that Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center came up with. Give it a shot, and then keep me posted on how it works for you, okay?
I'll do it. I appreciate the info. I won't be afraid of Bermuda grass then.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Thank you, Audie.
Sir. All righty. Bye.
Let's see what Jerry in, or it's Gary, I guess, in Fort Worth is up to. Hey, Gary.
It's Jerry.
Oh, hey, Jerry, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just planted a bunch of fruit trees down in Dripping Springs for my daughter, and a couple of them were apples in a big old 5-gallon pot.
Okay.
She bought them over to Natural Gardener, so they should have been fairly, you know, quality trees. They have the water roots coming out right above the flare.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of those things are big as your thumb. Do I clip them off?
They're above the graft union. Is that where they are?
No, they're below the graft, but they're above the flare.
Okay. Yeah, those are adventitious roots, probably. I'd know for sure if you could send me a picture, but they're probably adventitious roots or water sprouts, like you say, and I would probably remove them.
Okay, because I when I planted them high and just fluffed those up, and they're just laying on top of the ground. I didn't cut them off.
Yeah, I'd go ahead and probably cut them off. If the rest of the tree is pretty well branched and looking healthy, you can probably go ahead and do it. The other way to do it would be to leave them for a while to help the roots establish and then cut them off sometime later. One of those two things. They definitely need to come off, though, at some point.
Yeah, I've never seen them that big. Like I say, they were big as a nickel.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, all right, Howard.
I think you have figured it out.
Well, I appreciate your reinforcement there.
I tell you what, take a picture with your phone or with a digital camera and send it to me. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com, and I'll give you a second opinion if you want to go that route.
All right. Well, next time I get down to Dripping Springs, I'll shoot you a photo.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, Howard.
Those of you holding, hang on. I'll help you before I get out of here. I've enjoyed being with you. Happy Easter to everybody once again, and we will see you next week on the show. In the meantime, if you're just finding us, all the hours are podcasts on dirtdoctor.com. A lot of information there. Free newsletter. Just send us an email. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com. Enjoy your gardens, and don't forget to feed the birds. I'll see you next time.